Hey everybody, and welcome to the Biathlon Podcast. Oberhof is in the books. We had a couple of great races out there, some surprising winners, lots of questions to answer. Are there too many relays in the season? Do the French team need a new coach? Let's get into it. Thanks so much for joining me, everyone. It is late Tuesday, January the 9th, and we have got plenty to talk about today. I'll have the recaps and awards from the Oberhof races after some great sprints and pursuits. Not such great relays, I didn't think. We'll also have my best bets for Rube Holding and, of course, IBU Cup Corner, where they were over in Italy at Martel. As always, get in touch with your predictions, reactions, and questions. You can get in touch on Facebook, Twitter, or you can email me at thebiathlonpodcast@gmail.com. And on that note, I will start off with a very quick public service announcement for the USA listeners. This emailed in from Brooks over there in Decatur, Georgia, lovely part of the country. Thanks so much for getting in touch, Brooks. Just letting everyone know that there is a change in how to watch biathlon in the States. The old site, no longer showing them. I think it's the same company there, but the new site you want to go to is eurovisionsport.com. apparently it requires registering with an email address and downloading an app to view the competitions, but most importantly, it is still free. So any US listeners struggling to watch biathlon there, that's what you need to do. And talking of watching biathlon, we had some good ones last week in Oberhof, and I'm going to start the recaps with the men's races, who should have got us started on Thursday, but bad weather meant that they kicked us off on Friday morning. That's right, the men were starting early, and starting early on the day was the king, Johannes Tingesbo, starting strong, 7.5 second lead for him over Ponsaloma after just 2 kilometres. He got into the range fast, but it was a bit too fast maybe, hit the first four, but missed the last. Still out 4.4 up on the early leader, who was the evergreen Simon Ader. That lead wouldn't last too long, though. Benny Doll, the flying German, 16 seconds up on Burr. We had others in touch, though. Quentin Fillmier, Taya Beau, Johannes Dahle, but Dahle missed two. Norath would miss one. Ponsaloma missed two in the stand, and the race was breaking apart. Johannes Tingers coming into the stand, looking to set the pace, but he missed the first. That was two on the day for him, managed to hold his nerve for the final four. He led, but how long would that last? Back in the prone, Seb Samuelson went clear, 2.8 behind Doll. And Doll was into the stand, looking good. Hit the first four, but he would miss the final shot in the stand, and it was anyone's race. The course was getting chopped up, though, and the skis were getting slower. Quentin Fillmier into the stand, he threw too wide, and the French were not going to go well in this race, I'm afraid. Not going well either was the Norwegian youngster, Jon Olav Botten, with 3 misses in the prone. Shocking for him, 5 down for Stromsheim though, and he was out just ahead of Samuelsen and well in the hunt. Taillebaud, meanwhile, would follow Fillmier by missing 2 in the stand to fall back, as Johannes Tingesbo led Ponsaloma by 20 seconds at the end. That wouldn't last though, because Doll was coming strong, 19.6 seconds up on the champ, and it was Seb Samuelson's turn to choke in the stand shoot. He missed 2 as well to see his chances of a win go up in smoke. And with the favourites falling, we had some late starters to keep an eye on. Sturla Holm-Lygrid, Johannes Kern, and firstly, André Stromsheim to challenge. Stromsheim into the shoot, 1 miss for him, and after the penalty loop, he was still in touch, 6.7 seconds back of Benny Doll. Sturla Holm-Lygrid, if he'd hit all of them, he would have taken the win, but he also missed one. A huge miss from Lygrid, and it was all going to be a ski race on that last lap. Stromsheim was first up, but he was falling back on Doll. Lygrid was catching him, though. Kern, meanwhile, came into the stand. 10 out of 10 for him, but he was 17 seconds down. Podium still in play for the German, though. Stromsheim was the first in. Couldn't catch Doll, but strong, strong finish over the final kilometer. 5.4 down on the German. Lygrid was catching. The lead was down to 3.4 seconds with 800 meters left, but he couldn't quite do it. 1.8 seconds off Benny Doll, and Doll takes the win, his second of the season. Lygrid second, Stromsheim third, Johannes Tingesbo fourth, with Fack and Kern tied for fifth. Rounding out the top six, essentially there. Really good race in there, taking it down deep into the race. And it set us up for a good pursuit as well in front of a huge crowd over there in Oberhof. The front three were together with Johannes Tingis hunting them down on the first lap. Button, I'm afraid it went from bad to worse for him, skied an extra loop in the sprint, and then he was deducted 30 seconds for a false start in the pursuit. Not a debut to remember, I'm afraid, for the young sensation, but he'll come again, I'm sure. Meanwhile, at the front, Johannes Tingis caught the leaders by the first chute, unsurprisingly, and the Norwegians were all clear. Johannes Tingis, Sturla Holm-Lygreid, and, of course, Andre Stromsheim, Benny Daldo, wasn't going to make it 2-2. Three misses in the first prone chute, and that was the end of his race in terms of the lead. Behind them, though, Seb, Taya, Dale were all choking as well. They all missed one, Button missed two, and Dahl came off the lap after three loops, 1.8 seconds down. Onto lap two, it was Lygreid and Boer leaving Stromsheim to do the pacing. Ponchiluoma was fourth and catching slightly early on in the lap, but the leaders stabilised that as they came into the chute. Stromsheim, not for the first time this season, having a bit of trouble with the rifle, but he was clear about halfway. With him, the ever-present Johannes Tingis clear as well. Lygreid, who you'd expect to hit those targets, missed his fourth, didn't expect that. That sent him back to Ponchiluoma, 19 seconds behind the two leaders. Benny Dahl in strife again, two more misses for him. Lap three, Johannes looked to break Stromsheim early, but Stromsheim was sticking with the champ and they led the way. The pressure really was on Stromsheim when he came in for the first standing shoot with Boer, but he went for lane one and gave us a fantastic shoot. Shoot of the weekend for me. Johannes Tingis missed his first as Stromsheim was already leaving. Johannes Tingis getting four, but slipping down the order. Sturla Holm-Lygreid and Ponchiluoma both missed, though. They couldn't take advantage. Sturla Holm with one and Ponchiluoma with two, missing the chance to catch Johannes, who was 26 seconds behind his teammate. Jacquemel was the big leader here, the big winner here, though, going from 25th up to 8th, clear at that stage. On to lap 4, Johannes Tingis catching, but not as much as you might think. 5 out of 5 should be enough for Stromsheim to take the win. He shot fast, but 2 and 3 both missed. It was advantage to Johannes Tingis. If he hit 4 out of 5, it looked like he was going to take the win. But shock horror, he missed 3 targets. Nobody saw that coming. Huge misses, all of them, nowhere near the target. And Lygreid came in, 5 out of 5 for him to vault himself back up into contention. Stromsheim coming off the loop, still in the lead with Sturla Holm 6 seconds behind him. Samuelsson and Ponchiluoma both missed, which left Dale Sjevdal to come from absolutely nowhere into third place, 5 seconds ahead of Johannes Tingis. And so it all came down to the final lap, and Lygreid caught Stromsheim early while Dale was putting in a huge kick to leave Johannes Tingis in the dust, and he was going backwards fast. Stromsheim then attacked, getting a small lead at the 11.7 checkpoint over Lygreid, 2.5 seconds. That became more as he went over the crest of the hill, and you saw the defeat in Lygrid's face. He looked behind him, and it was all over. Amazing victory for Stromsheim. Good second place for Lygreid. Dale, the ski of the day, going from 13th to 3rd. And Taya Bo passing his brother Johannes to get to 4th place. Fabian Claude, the best of the non-Norwegians, in 6th, all the way up from 28th. And so the final race was the relay. Not a lot to shout about in this one. Big win for the Norwegian team. 2 minutes up on the Germans in 2nd, Italy 3rd, Sweden 4th, and where, may you ask, were the French, all the way back down in 7th. It was looking good early. Fabian Claude led the field over the first leg, but Eric Perrault on the loop, so was Jacquelin, and Phil Maillet really had nothing to do but ski round and get that 7th place. So a bad weekend for the French, good for the Norwegians, and the Germans there getting a win for Benny Dahl and a 2nd place in the relay, a solid result for them. And they were your men's races. And all that means that things are still pretty tight at the top of the men's overall race. Johannes Tingis leading the way still on 579 points. Taya, the only man within a win of him at 82 points. But then we've got a cluster, Stromsheim, Dale, and Sturlaholm Liegrid, all within 128 points of the lead. So all it takes is, you know, Johannes to have a bad race or to miss a race even, and they can be right back in the mix. Such a shame that Sturlaholm Liegrid missed out on that mass start in Lenzerheide, obviously sort of his own fault, but if he'd been able to race there, he was on good form, he could be right up there with Taya battling for second as well. In terms of the awards, as always, we've got the gold, silver, bronze, unsung hero, and disappointment. And I'm afraid that the disappointments this week might be the longest section. But we'll start off with the positives, and the gold medal for the week has to go to first-time winner André Stromsheim. We've seen his first podium this season, and now we've seen his first win at all. And that was such a great race. I mean, four really great races, I thought, this week, but that might have been the winner of all of them. Stromsheim going toe-to-toe with the two best in the world right now, Johannes Tingers and Liegrid as well, holding his own against both of them in the range early on. Then he had the legs to break Liegrid on the last lap after surely thinking he'd thrown the win away. That final shoot, just, I don't know what came over him. I think he was trying to shoot a bit too fast, because his third shoot, the first standing shoot, was absolutely unbelievable. 17.4 seconds and hitting all of them, staring essentially Johannes Tingers Burt right in the face. Obviously, Stromsheim being a lefty, his face is going right down the range as he was in lane one. So he's almost looking at the champ right in the face. He got his first shot off in 9 seconds, and I think that was what rattled Johannes, because Johannes took 3.5 seconds longer to get that first shot off. By that point, I think Stromsheim probably had 3 or 4 targets down. I don't know if that rushed Johannes, but he missed that first one. And that was part of the reason that Stromsheim was able to get that victory there. Brilliant racing from him. Obviously got the podium in the sprint as well. He's third place in the standings and potentially a real threat for the overall race here. I was expecting that after those races, Johannes might be home and dry, but it's not that way at all. Second big winner of the week, taking the silver medal. I've got to give it to Benny Dole, taking that victory in the sprint in front of his home fans. And, you know, so often we see the pressure hitting the athletes, and I don't think anywhere's necessarily as pressurized as it is for the Germans at their home races. You have great atmospheres in other tracks, especially Annecy obviously comes to mind, even Ottapa in Estonia last year, that was a great atmosphere as well. But the pressure the Germans are under, you don't hear any cheering for really anyone else hitting the targets in the range. And when the Germans are up, they know that if they miss, there's going to be that horrible silence. And I mean, we saw what it did to Benny Dole in the pursuit, missing three in that first shoot. But that win really just set the table for the weekend. It was a great victory, and yeah, well done to Benny Dole. Second victory of the season as well. I think that might be the first time that he has taken two victories in the World Cup in the same year. Yes, that is the first time he's ever done that. So, you know, great stuff for Benny Dole. That's his sixth victory in World Cups and World Championships throughout what is a very celebrated career. So well done to Benny Dole and well done to Germany, who just continue to go really well throughout this season. Bronze, got to give it to the old-timer. Not the old-timer you might think. Simon Ader is usually who I'm talking about, but Slovenia's Jakub Fak getting his first top five in essentially a calendar year. The last one came in the individual in Ruhpolding last year. 36 years old and still no slouch on the skis either. Top 10 ski speed in that sprint, and he could be rounding into form at just the right time with the World Championships less than a month away now. The unsung hero, I've got a couple of names that I want to fire off here. Alexander Mukin of Kazakhstan, we've mentioned his name before. He got his first ever top 20 in the sprint, coming home 16th. Great result for him, and he's slowly becoming one of those names that we're seeing in the points week after week. Florent Cloud, also worth a mention. He had a good week. Almost the highlight for me was the first leg of the relay there for the Belgians. Essentially coming, wasn't quite leading, just behind his brother, Fabien, for the French team. But Florent Cloud, what the French might give to have him on their team at the moment. Really good weekend for him. And the one I'll give it to, though, Reinars Birkenthals of Latvia, 27th in the sprint after a clear shoot. Obviously doesn't quite have the ski speed of the best, but his first ever top 30. Unfortunately, he didn't get to race in the relay because Latvia had already been lapped. A little bit of a bugbear for me there. Himself and Rastegoyevs are on leg 3 and 4. And I know I'm sort of going against what I've said before here in some ways, because I think if you're in with a chance of podiums and victories, you want to put your strongest athletes at the end rather than at the start. But I think for Latvia, if you're going to get lapped after before the halfway stage, put your top two at the start of the race, like the Belgians did. You might get yourself at the front of the field for a little bit there. So hopefully they do that for the relays that are coming up on Thursday. The men's relay there in Ruhpolding. Now on to the longer part of the awards, and I'm afraid it's the disappointments, and I've got quite a few here. First of all, we'll have a quick honourable mention, or I guess dishonourable mention, for Jan Olav Botten. We hyped him up coming into the race. He was 15-1 to take the victory. I'd never seen a debut an athlete sort of given that sort of respect in the odds. And in some ways he deserved it. We'll come on to that. But in a lot of ways he didn't, because he had a bit of a nightmare week over there. He skied an extra penalty loop in the sprint. He had a false start in the pursuit. He had 4 misses in the sprint, 3 in the prone, 1 in the stand. That's the bad. Get all of the mistakes out of the way early in your career. On to the good, though. I was keeping a lookout for him as I was watching the sprint. He was 5th fastest on the first loop. He was faster than the likes of Dale. You know, Jack Lamb was quick on the first loop, but he fell away. He dropped like a lead balloon. Botten didn't, though, because he was the fastest ski time overall on the day. He lost 2 minutes on the penalty loop. He finished 1 minute 31 behind Dole. So, and obviously, Dole had a penalty loop of his own to pay there. But incredible skiing from Botten, and he's immediately sort of vaulted himself into the quickest in the field. So I'm sure he'll come back stronger. Really interested to see how he goes in Ruhpolding. So I'm not going to give him a disappointment, but just wanted to mention that. Kind of, it not funny for him, obviously, but what a shocker of a week he had. But quick, and I think we're going to see a lot more of him in the coming weeks. On to the real disappointments, though, and what else can it be other than the French team having an absolute nightmare over there in Oberhof? We were, you know, I mentioned them in previous podcasts here, thought it might be a little bit of a soft reset for the team, you know, have the Christmas break. They did well in the World Team Challenge with Simon and Cloud. But I mean, this was a new low for the French team, really. Big names are being sort of spat out of the team now. Antonin Gigana, he's out of the World Cup team for the first time since 2020. He's going to be racing at IBU Cup this week after an 86th place in the sprint. Terrible performance for Giganard there. He's going to be replaced by Oscar Lombardo, who we have seen at World Cups before. So we'll see how he gets on. But it wasn't just Giganard who was having a tough time out there. I mean, it's just the same old story for Jacquelin, who long-term listeners will know, one of my favourites in the field, but he's doing the same thing. He's going really hard on the first lap. He was the second fastest ski time on that first lap. But what does that matter when you're coming 37th in the sprint, not hitting the targets, gassing yourself out and slowing down? Fionn Maillet just completely lost his touch in the range this season. In the prone shoots, he's down to 78%. And I mean, that's been in the high 80s for the last few years. And this is where, you know, I'm just a fan. I don't know what coaching biathlon is going to entail, how much it's going to affect the team. But you've got to start wondering if the French team is going to have to make a change at the top. They had a new coach this year, Simon Fourcade. See, a mixed career over the years. Martin's brother there. But they obviously thought he was going to get the best out of this team. And he has, I mean, I think it's fair to say he's got the worst out of this team. In the sprint back on Friday, just one Frenchman in the top 20. Just one Frenchman. That's, I mean, for a team with the talent and the resource that they have, you know, we've got Kazakhstan getting in there with Mukin. We've got
God knows how many Norwegians, 5, 6 Norwegians in the top 20, 3 Swedes in the top 12, Germans are all over the place, and the French are just absolutely nowhere. Phil Maillet, you know, 14th place, that's, he was winning the overall 2 years ago. He was dominating the Olympics 2 years ago. And it just hasn't happened for them this season. And biathlon seasons come at you quickly. You know, we're going to be at the World Championships in a month, then we're going to be in North America, and then the season's going to be over. And this is just not, I mean, not good enough isn't really saying enough about how bad the men's team have been. And I mean, as I say, something has to be up with the training, but then what are the women's team doing? Justine Brézard-Bouchet is the quickest in the field. Simon's going well. Jean Manot's doing well. Chavot's doing well. We'll come on to that when we look at the women's races. So, I mean, half the team is going great guns, but it's just not happening for the men's team. And I think something needs to happen. And, you know, you don't want to see anyone lose their job, but this is what happens in sport. Sometimes a shake-up's needed. And I do wonder if Simon Foucault's seat is getting very, very hot underneath him, because this can't go on much longer. The resource that goes into this team. We'll see how that goes. I know they've mentioned it on commentary. That's on the UK commentary anyway. French listeners, do let me know if there's... I do sort of follow the French sort of press there for biathlon. I haven't seen any sort of sustained calls for his head there. But let me know what the mood of the country is when it comes to Simon Foucault, because something has to change. The talent's too good for this to go on much longer. Filmer, Jacqueline, even Perrault had a bad week, and he's been sort of the bright spot of the team. The French team, undoubtedly the disappointment of the week. More broadly, though, my disappointment's been in the relays, and this is just a general disappointment. We've had 6 in the books now. Spoiler alert, the women's one wasn't great either. There hasn't been a truly memorable relay, men's or women's relay, in those 6 that we've had there. And I don't know if... maybe this is just me, but it just kind of puts the end of the event at a bit of a low ebb. They're the longest races. Well, longest head-to-head races that we see. You know, they take a while. And Roop Holding, they're going to be open in the week off. And I wonder if that might be the way forward, rather than having them as kind of like the headline event, if we're just going to be seeing these races that aren't close, really. I mean, the women's race looks close if you look at the, you know, the gaps between them. Norway only, you know, within 10 seconds of France. But if you watch the race, that wasn't the race you watched. France were always in the lead. Norway were always second. Sweden were pretty much always third. Italy without Vera, a great race for them getting fourth, but there was just no drama at all in the race. As I say, the gap's there, 10 seconds back to Norway, over 30 seconds to Sweden, over 3.5 minutes back to Italy, over nearly 4.5 minutes to Germany. I love biathlon, but this isn't really what you want to see. And I don't know, either shifting the relays to the start of the meetings might work, or... is there an argument to be made for more mixed relays? I know the traditionalists out there will be raging hearing me say that. People don't like the mixed relays, or some people don't. I think the mixed relays are great. You get way more teams involved. The smaller nations have a chance, especially in the single mixed relay. And they're just more entertaining to watch. That's what it comes down to. You get closer racing, get better racing. I'm sort of more of a fan of the mixed relay than the single mix. That's a little bit weird, but I'm more than happy to watch them if they're close and exciting. Disappointment of the season, I think, for me, has been the lack of entertainment in the relays. Anyway, that's enough negativity from me. Let's poke this back up and go into some more great racing, relays apart, from the women's, and they started off on Friday as well. With doubts around how the tracks were going to hold up, the big names were wisely going off early. But it wasn't on the tracks where the problems were coming, it was in the range, and the big names were struggling. Simon, setting off second in the field, looked very good on the first lap, but missed 2 in the prone chute. Arnett Liev, it all went wrong for her, 4 misses out of 5.
While the Urbugs also struggled, Elvira with one and Hannah with two misses by the halfway stage. Meanwhile, Caroline Yotten was the first big name clear. She led, but not for long, because Franziska Preutz was 1.9 seconds up, and the Germans were going incredibly well, because Hettich Volz and Vanessa Voigts were also clear through five. Meanwhile, the early starters coming into the stand, and Simone nailed an incredible shoot, 21.6 seconds, and she nailed all five to set the benchmark time, as her teammate and rival Justine Brézard-Boucher matched her poor prone shooting with two misses as well. Elvira was really struggling with wind gusting through the range as she was shooting her standing targets, but limited her losses to just one. That was two misses on the day, and the top overall contenders were struggling. Vitozzi as well, an unusual miss for her in the prone, one miss and she was on her way. So there were opportunities for a shock in this one. Hettich Volz was the first one to target it, 10 out of 10 for the German, and could she get a rare podium? Njotin, looking like she might go for the win, couldn't quite match that, missing one in the stand, and her chances went with it. Someone whose chances were still looking good, though, was Preutz, 10 out of 10, and could this finally be her day after a season of oh-so-close finishes? A huge lead over the field at that point, 19 and a half seconds, but there were hunters with her in their sights. Ingrid Lamarck-Tandrevold, 5 out of 5 at the halfway point, and 3.2 seconds up on the German. Meanwhile, after the standing shoots, the Germans were still going well. Voigt was clear through 10. That's Vanessa Voigt, Preutz, and Voigt all clear, and the Germans were looking good. Elvira, though, on the skis, with a huge last lap, nearly catching Simone's benchmark time, over 20 seconds faster than the Frenchwoman on that final lap. Preutz coming in, she would beat that time finally, but Tandrevold was 13 seconds up coming into the stand, and it looked like it was going to be good for the Norwegian, but it wasn't to last. Three misses in the stand, and it looked like Preutz was going to be good. Justine Brézard-Boucher clear through the stand. That was two misses on the day for her. Surely she couldn't catch Preutz. Surely she couldn't catch Preutz, but she was flying on the final lap, catching the German for over 28 seconds and taking the lead. No one saw that coming. Incredible skiing from the French woman. Meanwhile, we could look in for the podium challengers. Anna Magnusson back on form. 10 out of 10 for her and 5.7 seconds down on Preutz. She wasn't going to catch Preutz and she wasn't going to beat Brézard-Boucher, but the podium could be on. It was going to be a ski race because Sophie Chavot was also going well. One miss, but just behind Magnusson. Could she beat Preutz? Not quite. 0.8 seconds down, so Chavot gets her first podium of the World Cup. And Justine Brézard-Boucher take the win. First for Brézard-Boucher, second for Preutz. Chavot just missing out on second, having to settle for third. Magnusson fourth, Hettich Volz fifth, and Njotten sixth. With the other big contenders struggling, Vitozzi seventh, Jean Monod ninth, Simone tenth, Elvira 11th, and Tandrevold all the way down in 17th. So the pressure was really on those big names to chase down Brézard-Boucher, who was on a run of five straight victories as they came into the pursuit. And on lap one, she took up that lead with Chavot chasing her with Preutz on her tail. But they were losing time. Elvira and Simone were the big gainers, though. They were skiing hard further back down the field, going from 10th and 11th to 4th and 5th on the first lap, which was pretty impressive. But it wasn't going to affect the leader, Justine Brézard, taking her time and nailing all five of the first targets. Chavot and Preutz blinked, both of them missing one. Simone, Magnusson missing one. And it was Elvira who was clear and up to second, 30 seconds behind Brézard. Lap 2, Elvira was closing, but only slightly, and Justine Brézard was perfect in the range yet again. Elvira keeping the pressure on and shooting faster, the lead down to 23 and a half seconds. And there was brilliant shooting throughout the field here. Chavot, Richard, Njotten, Vitozzi, Hettich Volz, Preutz, Simone, all clear and all chasing those podium spots. After the halfway stage, this gaps were all looking fairly stable, and the first miss for Justine Brézard-Boucher opened up the doors. It was a wild shoot, so one wasn't necessarily bad for Brézard-Boucher, but she would have hoped to do better there. Elvira looked to take advantage, but she couldn't, missing one, and it was Simone with an absolutely lightning shoot. Definitely the shoot of the weekend for the women, and that put her just 10.5 seconds behind Brazier, and the rivals were back at it again. There were misses all over the place now. Chavot, Vitozzi, Njotton, Hettischvold, Tandrevold all missing one. But Richard clearing the young Frenchwoman third, 30 seconds back, alongside the big names of Preuss and Elvira Urberg. Onto the penultimate lap, and Brazier Boucher was putting the hammer down, the gap to Simon doubling quickly. Simon tried to respond and kept it just about in check, but it was all going to come down to the final shoot. Brazier Boucher hit the first two, but then three goes right, wide right, four goes wide left, and Simon has the chance to win. She missed one though, and behind her it was all going wrong. Richard, Elvira both missing two, Chavot missing three, Preuss looking good, but then she missed one, and it was Simon who led them off the penalty loop. Brazier Boucher 10 and a half seconds behind, and Preuss and Jean Monod, who came out of nowhere, the only person in the top 10 to hit five, they were battling for third, nearly 50 seconds back. So Justin Brazier Boucher with 10 seconds to catch, but it didn't look like she had it in the legs. Jean Monod, meanwhile, certainly did, leaving Preuss behind her, who was also caught by Elvira and Tandrevold. Elvira attacking again and passing Jean Monod from 7th up to 3rd on the last lap. Amazing performance on the skis yet again from Elvira. And Tandrevold trying to fight her back though. Simon took the win, Brazier Boucher 2nd, and Tandrevold and Elvira were going hell for leather on the final climb. And it was Tandrevold who got there to take 3rd place just from Elvira. Jean Monod having to settle for 5th with Njotton and Preuss behind her. Big winner of the day was Hannah Urberg. We'll talk about her later, but she went up from 52nd, that's right, 52nd in the sprint, to 20th in the pursuit. And just like the men's, the relay wasn't anything to write home about, I'm afraid. A bit of a snoozer yet again, France doing the damage here. Jean Monod coming through the first lap within touching distance of the leaders. Brazier Boucher on the second lap there. She took the lead, and the French wouldn't give it up. Chavot and Simon rounding out the victory. Norway were always in touch, but couldn't quite get on level paying with the French. They came home with a creditable second. Sweden in third place after Hannah Urberg went onto the penalty loop. With Italy, a brilliant fourth place for them. The Dorothea Viralus, Italy, Camola, Pasla, Vitozzi and Carrara doing a very good job to get into fourth place, even with Carrara on the penalty loop 3 times on the final lap. Germany will be disappointed with fifth to lose out to Italy there. And then it was a good sixth place from Czech Republic for Bornikova, Davidova, Sharvatova and Yizlova, doing well to get into the top six there. And those were your women's races. So 5 wins in a row and a second place for Justine Brazier Boucher means that, unsurprisingly, she has tightened her grip at the top of the women's overall standings. No one within a win of the Frenchwoman so far. She leads on a 592 points. Ingrid Landmark Tandrevold, her closest challenger, 91 points behind. Elvira sitting at 119 behind. And then we've got Vitozzi, Simon and Preuss all within 160 points of the leader. I don't think anyone besides those top six women is in with a chance of overall victory anymore. And so on to the winners and losers, or the awards for the women's sides. And I'm going to start off with the gold. And someone I didn't mention too much in the recaps, but for me, the absolute star of the week, Jeanne Richard, the French youngster, 8th in her World Cup debut in the sprint back on Friday. Absolutely fantastic performance. Shooting clear in that sprint there. Going quite late as well. She was bib number 61. The tracks were definitely not as quick as they were earlier on in the day, so that was great skiing from Richard. And then, you know, brilliant debut, getting that 8th place. You could forgive her for falling down the order in the pursuit, but then she follows that up with another top 10, 9th in the pursuit. And, you know, 9th actually might be a little bit low for her because she was in the mix for the podium going into that final shoot. Brilliant stuff from Richard. Good ski speed. And I think she is definitely someone who's here to stay, following the likes of Chavot and Jean Monod. The French team just full of great youngsters at the moment.
Into the relay team tomorrow, Justine Brezovic is going to be rested in that relay, so I'm really interested to see how she handles that. First big races she's going to have at Ruhpolding, not raced there before in sort of IBU Cup or sort of a youth championship level that I can see. So that will be interesting to see how she handles that pressure. She takes the second leg there. And, you know, sometimes when someone really announces themselves at this level, you can sort of expect a bit too much from them. I would say she can be a bit up and down in the range, sort of having followed her through IBU Cup level. So don't expect miracles. She is just still 21 years old. But Rashad, if she can continue to get top 20s, top 10s, then that would be a fantastic season for her. And maybe we do see her challenging for the podium as well. And I think for her, for someone who didn't start the season in the team at all, I think she's pretty much locked in to the World Championship squad now. And that's fantastic for someone who's making her debut and making a real stamp on the sport. So gold medal, no question for me, Jeanne Richard of the French team. And I'm going to stick with the French team for the silver medal. And it has to go to Justine Brezard-Boucher. Any other week, you'd kind of expect her to get gold. 5 wins in a row. Spectacular achievement. Obviously, we talk about how close the women's standings are and how anyone can win on any given day. But we have seen this before recently. Tyrell Ekhof, of course, getting 5 wins in a row a couple of seasons ago. Spectacular achievement from Brezard-Boucher. And as I said there, she's got a tight grip on the overall race. Full win ahead of the field. I think she'll be, you know, a bit disappointed when she looks back at the end of the pursuit. Those 2 misses in the final shoot costing her the victory. But having taken the whole of the last season off, having her first child, I mean, what a way to bounce back. This is the best we've ever seen her racing. And obviously she's an Olympic champion, but the consistency is fantastic to see. And if you look at the sprint anyway, she's basically a full penalty loop ahead of the field. She can afford a miss at the moment, and that's such a great position to be in. So if she can maintain this ski speed, then it's going to take some real beating to get her off the top spot for the overall Crystal Globe race there. And it's going to be a French 1-2-3 here. French taking the gold, silver, and bronze in my weekly awards. Because of the bronze medal, I'm going to Sophie Chavot. Really happy to see her take her first podium in the sprint back on Friday. And, you know, the Annecy crowd's so amazing, but her sort of real, not her debut, but her debut in terms of me paying attention, was that 4th place she got in Annecy last year. The crowd going absolutely crazy as she came in, looking like she might have even been going for a victory at one point in that final lap, ended up in 4th. But her and Jean Monod really announced themselves at Annecy last year. And obviously Jean Monod's gone on to have a lot of time in the spotlight, taking victories, taking podiums. So it's great to see Chavot doing the same. And I think in a way, more than the podium she took in the sprint, I was impressed with what she did in the relay. You know, I've moaned about the relay. It wasn't a great race, but Chavot was really good in it. The only other time she's had a relay for the French team at World Cup level, she had an absolute nightmare. That was last year in Ruhpolding. The French team was leading at the halfway stage. She took the third leg. Two penalty loops later. And France had gone down from the lead into 6th place. So I think to, you know, I say bounce back. There's been a whole year in between that. But to bounce back from that result and try to establish her in that French team going into the World Championships, you know, there's a real chance of a gold medal for this French women's team. They're the favourites on paper, for sure. And if Chavot can force her way into that team, then a gold medal could be coming her way. Unsung hero, we've gone France. I'm going the opposite way. One of the smallest nations in biathlon terms, Australia. Darcy Morton, amazing performance from her in the sprint back on Friday. And, you know, normally when I do these unsung heroes, I'll try and pick out someone who's maybe taken their first World Cup points, first top 20, something like that. A name that you might not have heard of. But Darcy Morton, 56th place in the sprint, didn't get any points, but her previous best result was 73rd. That qualified her for her first ever pursuit at the World Cup level. Just a hell of a result from her. You know, not getting a huge amount of backup from the federation there, although obviously they're doing what they can with the funds they get given. But great to see Darcy Morton having a good race out there. And hopefully more to come from her. Obviously, she'll be racing at those Worlds as well. And I'd love to see her qualifying for the Pursuit in there as well. Which takes me on to the disappointment. And you could really take your pick here because the big names were struggling on the women's side. Obviously, the overall contenders all had relatively okay weekends. Tandrevold struggled in the sprint down in 17th, but then she got the third in the pursuit to sort of offset that a little bit. But some other big names from years past were really having a bad time of it. Hannah Erberg, really the headliner of those, 52nd in the sprint. Not what you expect to see from her at all. And I mean, a decent pursuit, but four misses in a sprint for Hannah Erberg. I mean, that's a lot of misses, but you'd still expect her to be in the top 20, top 25, even with four misses. But the speed's just not there for her at the moment. And then she has a, you know, an okay pursuit, but you'd 20th, not pulling up that many trees. And then a poor relay, really costing Sweden the chance at the win, going onto the penalty loop on that third leg. And she's actually been dropped from the Swedish team for the relay tomorrow, replaced by Mona Brorson, who did have a decent race. And we'll talk about her when it comes to Rupe Holding in a minute. But yeah, tough stretch for Hannah here. And this does happen season after season, really. And go back to last season, she actually missed Pokljuka, which, because the World Championships were in Oberhof, Pokljuka was the first races after Christmas. She missed those completely after struggling just before Christmas in Annecy, and then did come back really strong in Rupe Holding. She had good races there. She had a good World Championships, getting medals there as well. So if you're looking for the silver lining when it comes to Hannah Erberg, maybe she's going to raise the game for those Worlds. But I mean, I seem to be saying that a lot lately, and a lot of people's seasons are really starting to hinge on those World Championships in Nova Mesto that are coming up. I mean, you look at the other names in that, just managing to qualify for the Pursuit last week. Davidova, 59th. Hauser, 60th. Hauser's actually going to be leading off the Austrian relay team. So they've not dropped her, but that's a demotion from being the anchor leg for sure. So yeah, tough results for a lot of big names. These are all winners. So we'll see how they go. Hopefully they're banking on a strong World Championships, but they're going to have to get their act together pretty soon here. I'll leave it there in terms of disappointments. Obviously, we've got the best bets to come. We're staying in Germany, but heading south over to the Austrian border and Rupe Holding. So we'll take a look at the best bets going into the relays, which start tomorrow. But before that, let's just spend a couple of minutes bringing you up to speed with all the latest from the IBU Cup. So the IBU Cup is in Italy for two post-Christmas legs. First stop was in Martel, where we had short individuals, sprints and pursuits. And Vebjörn Sørum didn't let his demotion from the World Cup team affect him. He won his first race back, taking the men's 15k individual by just 7.4 seconds after hitting 18 out of 20. Great start for Sørum, but he was overshadowed by a fellow Norwegian in the sprints and pursuits. It was Isak Frey, hitting 30 out of 30 targets in those races to take the sprint pursuit double. On the women's side, Germany's Julia Kink backed up her youth individual gold medal from last season with her first IBU Cup win. That was in the 12.5 individual. And this one was a hell of a race. Fellow German prospect Emily Schumann took the lead initially, only for Kink to beat her by just 0.8 seconds. Stina Nielsen was then looking to pretty much be headed for the top, skiing pretty well there in the IBU Cup, but fell just short, 3.5 seconds back. She finished up third. Bit of an up-and-down week for Nielsen. She got another podium in the sprint, so two podiums, you'd think. That's a pretty good week's work there. That sprint, by the way, won by Marin Kerkeide, who we will see at the World Cup. Stina Nielsen might have been hoping that she'd be in the World Cup for Rupe Holding as well, but she reverted back to type in the pursuit, missing nine targets. A really tough race from her, sinking down the standings there. That race won by Gion Gigana, who continued her great form this season, winning that race with a perfect shoot taking her up to the top step from 11th at the start. So good race there from Guigonat, but someone else in the French team who was not having such a good time, Chloe Chevalier, ninth place in the individual, 23rd in the sprint, and then didn't start in the pursuit, and has since announced that she's taking a break from biathlon, undetermined amount of time. And she wasn't the only one. This morning we also heard that Tilde Johansson, who of course won the overall IBU Cup classification last year, has decided that she's going to take, again, an indefinite break from biathlon. She went onto Instagram saying, "The last year has been extremely stressful for me, both physically, but especially psychologically, struggling to find motivation and joy in the sport." So really sad from both Tilde Johansson and Chloe Chevalier there. And just showing you how tough sport at this level can be. For Chevalier's side, I mean, trying to break into that French team, which she's been such a vital part of over the last few years, it's got to be tough. You've got the likes of, obviously, Brésard Richer, Simon and Jean Manot all fighting for the overall. On the World Cup, Chavot getting podiums, and now we've got Richard, Guigonat, Océane Michel, someone that we didn't mention too much, but having a good run out in Oberhof as well. And Chevalier's sort of been left behind a bit, so hopefully she'll take a bit of time out, just like Tilde Johansson. I hope that we see him again this season. You wonder if we will, or if maybe a bit longer out would be better, and they can come back into the 24-25 season sort of fresh there. But wishing all the best to them. Someone else who we're not going to see, Germany's Anna Vidal, who's been ruled out for the rest of the season with injury. So quite a lot of sad news there in the IBU Cup, but it has been a good weekend for others. As I say, Sørum, be interesting to see if he can get back into the team after Botton's pretty miserable start. We'll see how Botton gets on in Ruhpolding, and if Sørum can crack his way back into that team before the end of the season. Isak Frey getting a double there, just yet another Norwegian to watch out for. So good stuff over on the IBU Cup. But that'll do it for this week there, and we will move on to Ruhpolding and my best bets for the upcoming races, which start in a matter of hours. So the racing starting early for Ruhpolding. We've got racing basically all week now. Women's Relay Wednesday. Probably listening to this on Wednesday as I'm recording it late on Thursday, on Tuesday anyway. Men's then relay on Thursday. We've got the women's sprint on Friday, the men's sprint on Saturday, and both pursuits to follow on Sunday. So we'll start off with the relays and the women's tomorrow. We've got no Justine Brésard-Boucher for France. As I mentioned, she's taken a little rest there, with Jean-Marie Chard taking the second leg. I think that's a good shout from the French team. Putting Richard second takes the pressure off a little bit. She's used to taking the third leg in most of the youth relays, so I think second should fit in well for her. Jean Manot obviously likely to get the French off to a good start, as she does so often. So the French team, I think they're losing the best biathlete in the field at the moment, but they're bringing in a pretty solid replacement. Hannah Öberg, as I say, dropped from the Swedish team, so we've got Mona Brorson taking the third leg, but she is in very good form at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how these replacements are going to affect the Swedish and the French team. There's also no Vanessa Voigt for Germany either, so yeah, interesting race for all the teams. Norway with Skogen, Njåten, Arnekliev, and then Tandrevold, sort of the most unchanged of the teams. They are favourite at 11-8. France at 6-4. Sweden at 2-1, and Germany at 9-1. I think I fancy Norway just with Brésard-Boucher being out, but I'm hoping that this is going to be a good race. I think there's a good levels between those top three teams. Sweden, they were right in the race until Hannah went on the penalty loop. So it'd be interesting to see how Brorson fits in alongside Pearson and Elvira. So yeah, interesting race. I wouldn't be putting any bets on the result or the victory at least. However, I know I've got a lot of USA listeners out there, and I think the odds around the USA women's team are pretty interesting. They're 25-1 to be leading after the first leg. That's Deirdre Irwin taking that leg. She's having a decent season. And, you know, that first leg, things can get a bit screwy on that first leg. And Didier Owen's definitely got the ability to be leading there. So that's an interesting bet. They're also 6-1 to make the top 10, which they haven't done yet this year. But they've been in and around it. They were 11th in Oberhof. So 6-1 for the top 10 for that American team. I do like that bet there. In terms of the men's relay, we haven't got odds for things like the top 10 yet. In terms of the victory, it's going to be Norway. You've got to expect France, possibly, you know, there could be a good battle between France and Germany for the minor podium places, but I can't see either of them beating this Norwegian team. It's just on a different planet at the moment. Then as we go into the sprints and pursuits, back to the women, Justine Brazard-Boucher, of course, your favourite after five wins in six. She's the favourite of 5-2. After skipping the relay as well, you'd imagine that she's going to be fresh for the race there on Friday. Elvira at 9-2 is where I think the victory is going, though. I think Elvira's skiing really, really well at the moment. Sort of almost like the opposite of Hannah. I think she's really coming into form at this point of the season. And I think that she might be my pick to sort of run Brazard-Boucher the hardest for the overall title as we get through the sort of mid and end parts of the season. So Elvira from the favourites is the bet I like there at 9-2. Tandrevold also there at 6-1, and she, as we know, is in decent form as well. They were your three fastest women in the Oberhof sprint. So, I mean, unsurprising that they're all there. But yeah, Brazard-Boucher just on another level right now on the skis. So she's going to be tough to beat, but we know she has misses in her on the range. In terms of the outsiders, I like Lena Heike-Grosch. She is down at 33-1. She was so good back in Hochfilz, and then that form just fell off in front of her home fans in Lenzerheide. But she was fifth fastest last week. And, you know, that first World Cup win just, I feel like it could happen this season. So Ruhpolding, it's not the most difficult tracks out there. I think she might like it when those sort of conditions. Hochfilz is quite similar to that. So 33-1, not a bad bet there for Heike-Grosch to take the win. If you can see odds for her to get on the podium, I'd expect those to be somewhere in the sort of 5 or 6-1 range as well. So that could be a little bit of a safer bet there. In terms of long shots, I mentioned her earlier there in terms of the relay. Mona Brorson, she's all the way down at 150-1 to take the victory. I'd like to see the odds for her to be in the top six, because I think that might be a very good bet indeed. She was seventh fastest in the Oberhof sprint and pretty much the last of the women who were within two penalty loops of Brazard-Boucher. So, you know, if Brorson goes clear, Brazard-Boucher misses two, which could definitely happen, then we start to see the back end of the women who I think could challenge for a victory if everything goes right. She's shooting really well, 91% on the prone, 82% in the stand. So going clear is, you know, it's not outside the realms of possibility at all. So yeah, 150-1 for Mona Brorson to take her first victory of her World Cup career. On the men's side, unsurprisingly, I mean, even after that slightly poor form towards the end of the pursuit, Johannes Tinker's Bow is your favourite. He took the individual and mass start last season. He was in red hot form then, though. Obviously, he'd just come off of doing the same in Oberhof. But he did look tired towards the end of that pursuit. So if you're going to bet against him, this could be the time to do it. And the resurgent Stellaholm Lygreid is probably the man you'd want to back. The skiing looks very good. He's pacing his races a little bit better, I think, especially in the sprint. We saw that at the end of the sprint in Oberhof. Both him and Stromsheim chasing Benny Dole's time. Stromsheim fell away a little bit on that last lap, but Lygreid was consistent. He's at 11-2 to take the victory, and that is the bet that I like for the men's sprint. The one that I think will be interesting, Vetter Sjöstad Christensen, he should be skiing angry after being dropped for the Oberhof races. He is back, replacing Johan Olav Botten. No odds for Christensen at the moment. Ooh, as I dropped my phone on the floor. No odds for Christensen at the moment, so I don't know where they're going to place that. Someone who has got odds, though, Poncia Loma, he's down at 15-1 at the moment, and I do quite like those odds.
if anyone's going to break the Norwegian stranglehold at the on the men's side, I think Ponsiluoma is the man to do it. The skin's looking really good at the moment. He's on a run of 5 top 10s in a row. He's missed 3 targets in all of those. Obviously, some sprints, some 20-shot races. So I like him to at least hit the podium with an improvement in the range, and maybe take what will be his second victory of the season after he took the opening individual. In terms of long shots, I don't think there's anyone. I think the men's field's so top-heavy at the moment. There's no one that you're really going to take for the victory. But currently at 125-1, Jesper Nellin, who is skiing very nicely at the moment. He had a top 10 ski speed in the Oberhof sprint. He's sort of been a bit anonymous recently. It's been Samuelsson and Ponsiluoma for so long. But Nellin's starting to just, you know, creep in, get those good results. So 125-1, I'd be looking at a top 10 bet for Nellin, and hoping that comes in around the 4-5-1 range. So those are my best bets. Let me know your predictions. Let me know any of your reactions to anything I've said. Do we need more mixed relays? Do we need less relays? Do the French need a new coach? You can get in touch with me through the normal channels. Other than that, I will see you next week after all of the action in Roop Holding, and I hope you all have a good one. I'll see you down the road.